Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
Your sanity depends on your collective organization. And we are in a state now in this moment, in this historical moment, we are in a state that we are self-destructing ourselves. And that certainly got to do with the collective rituals we are performing. And if we can train actors and train people and gather people that are interested in performing different rituals, we can change the community's mental health.
That's the voice of Dr. Victor Portillos. On this week's show, we speak to Dr. Portillos about his latest theories of how performance can act as a tool for healing in the world. Stay tuned.
I'm very privileged this morning to have Brazilian physician, actor, and transcultural psychiatrist, Dr. Victor Portillos. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. I thank you, Sylvia.
Now, one of the most amazing things that happened to me recently at a conference was meeting you and being introduced to the Madness Hotel. Tell us a little bit about this project and how you got started.
Well, the Madness Hotel started in 2012 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And we had occupied abandoned wards in the oldest hospice, which is the oldest Brazilian psychiatric hospital. And in this place, we created a theater that was before, in 2011. And we have an artistic residency program for collectives, and we have more than 13 collectives working in those 3 years of occupation. And we do it public spectacles, we do public performances, and we train actors. So many of our actors that are training with us, and some of them are performing really well, many of them have had the diagnosis of schizophrenia and chronic psychosis, which are the most severe forms of mental illness. So the greatest thing about this work is when you observe the evolution of people with a psychiatric disease that is considered to be very severe, and through the actors' training, through the occupation of spaces, and through the realization of pageants and public parties in the squares close to the hospital and also in the squares of the city, we can see the transformation of the person. So the patient starts to develop his ability to speak, his ability to dance, to relate to the other people. And that seems to be a very important factor in mental illnesses.
We live in a world that is sick. You know, when you think about all the wars, all the inequality, all the poverty and injustice, it almost seems that it is illogical to be well in a society that is so dis-ease.
Yes.
So can we talk about that? What is mental illness at its heart?
Yes, we are facing a moment of a crisis that manifests itself in mental illnesses in the individuals, in the population. And we are seeing really high levels of violence, of wars, of violent attacks, killings, lack of consciousness. Like a lot of people is going into unconsciousness and is succumbing to destructive impulses and making destructive acts that we understand are acts provoked by madness, by unconsciousness, by the lack of the control of your attitudes and consciousness of your own body and your own mind. Well, that happens in our understanding due to cultural factors, social factors, economic factors, The World Health Organization has published just in November last year a report called Social Determinants of Mental Health, where they show that the poorer, the people with less resources, with a lower socioeconomic status, with a lower educational level, they have more mental illnesses. And they have more depression and more anxiety syndromes, and they have more psychosis, have more schizophrenia. This report shed light showing that even mental illnesses is considered to be less severe, such as depression and anxiety syndromes. They also occur and more violently and with poorer prognosis in patients with low income, with low educational level. And that's true not only for mental diseases, but also for general diseases. The poor people, and as more poor you are, more strokes, more heart attacks, more cancer, worse prognosis. We know from literature, from public health literature, that poor populations, they are dying from 5 to 10 years before. So there's something going on that we keep killing generations of people because of their socioeconomic status. And this happens to have lower literacy and without education, without the word, without the control of the word. It's worse for you to control yourself. It's worse for you to control the psychotic symptoms. Also the violence, the traumas, the transgenerational traumas. That means, like in Brazil, in my country, a very powerful trauma that we deal in patients, in psychiatric patients, is slavery, because we have a lot of black patients living in subhuman conditions and developing very severe mental illnesses. And we understand that this goes back to slavery, and that's a public debate that has to happen. So what is really important to understand is that the mold we live, the mold we behave, the way we construct our houses, the way we construct our cities, the way we get dressed, the way we eat, the kind of performances that we do, the kind of theater that we do or we don't do, the excess of television that we see, all this interferes with our mode of thinking, with our consciousness, with the ideas we have. What our work has been showing, that when you develop creative cultural activities in a favorable environment, an effective environment where people is well treated, where people is well received, where people is stimulated to express themselves and stimulated to talk and have relationships in the collective, you see that severe mental illnesses that are characterized by isolation from the world, they start to heal. And we have many stories and many cases of people who had a long time inside the hospital, like 31 years of the hospitalization, that due to this theatrical and open performances, pageants and processions, and public spectacles, this person started to circulate in the city, and for 2 years now she's living outside the hospital. And many other cases, another case of schizophrenia with aggressive, very aggressive teacher, where the theater had a very important teaching on the sense of developing relationship to the other in the space and how to control yourself. So it seems that the cultural practice, the ritual practice, is vital for mental health. Since people is going mad because of culture, I believe through culture we can revert. this mechanism.
I love that you bring that up. There are so many ways that I want to engage this conversation. One, I just want to quickly address that, you know, it makes complete sense to me that a history of injustice and slavery would have an impact in the way we internalize, you know, oppression, in the way that we have learned and forgotten who we really are. And I think the theater, perhaps, is not so much about control, but rather about becoming whole, you know, integrating all the pieces that we have disowned, our anger, righteous anger, because we have a right to be angered at a society that has been so dehumanizing to some of our people, to some of our, you know, and the ways that's that we true. Have forgotten who we are, you know, this ability to be creators, to be creative, and to participate as a whole. So can we talk a little bit about the rituals then that we cultivate and how they transform and inform who we are?
Exactly. In our society, in our mass society, people and we as a child and everybody as child and we as children, we were educated to watch television and to swallow television and to swallow what television tell us every day and all kinds of information and commercials and marketing has entered inside our bodies and our minds. And when I started developing the training for actors and theater, and we have to understand theater in the Brazilian context, because theater in the Brazilian context has a much stronger dialogue with indigenous culture in Brazil, with African culture in Brazil. So theater in Brazil reacquires a ritual quality, a public ritual quality, a community ritual quality that is, I can't perceive this in North America, in more industrialized countries, because we have this regaining of this of this ancestral body, thankfully to the Africans and the indigenous populations from Brazil. And when you start doing this training, you see that people is like unaccustomed to act, and they don't feel free to act, and they have difficulties in dancing, they have difficulties in speaking, they have difficulties in declaiming poetry. And that, I think, reflects cultural alienation. That reflects the general state of cultural alienation of our population, because we are inducted to perform the machine's ritual, which is television and movies, isn't it? Where you sit in a dark room and you swallow all the contents and you don't act and you don't create. And when we start to train the actors and people and communities and groups in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, and also in other parts of Brazil, we see that this cultural alienation, that is the alienation from the own affection, from the own body, it starts to disappear, and the person starts to gain more freedom of movement and gain more pleasure of movement and gain expression. And that's the change in the ritual. That's the change in the ritual from rituals that treat you as cows, that treat you as a mass that only accepts and only swallows contents, to rituals that are all the rituals from popular culture. All popular culture parts, the carnivals, the public fairs, the Middle Age fairs, the traditional parties, all of them, everybody's an actor. Everybody acts and everybody sings. All popular culture, all public culture was developed over this idea that everybody is an actor. When Shakespeare, in the 17th century, he said that every woman and man are actors, and the world is a stage, he was saying that because Shakespeare himself, he was a public performer. He was a popular culture derived person. He would perform in the open spaces. He would walk in the whole country, performing in different cities, in different spaces, in squares, in public squares. He would perform in London, in the brothels, in the worst region for morality, where they had bear baiting, bear fightings, and cock fightings. So theater, it's an extremely open space, public, popular party and ritual. And what happened in modern society is that ritual was, let's say, mutilated and was modified. What I think we could perceive and experience in Brazil was this kind of theater that reencounters the African rituals, that reencounters the indigenous rituals, the healing rituals. And that's why I am convinced that theater, actually, it's a healing ritual. It belongs to a healing tradition. That's why theater had always worked along and very connected to medicine in Greece. And that's why the shamans and the indigenous healers, they don't separate the medicine from theater. And also the African rites, you don't separate the theater, the public rite and the dance and the singing from the daily life, from the sacred daily life that means to be that. And I think this can be multiplied. It's a tradition, it's something old, it's not something new. And we are now focused in training more people and training more actors to work on communities and work on territories and work in public spaces. And this is the tradition that I had been trained in Brazil. And this training has benefited my own mental health. So I'm applying what I had experienced with me. I'm not giving electroshocks and drugs to anyone. I'm doing what I have done, and it's working quite beautifully. And now I'm writing this thesis about this work in the McGill University here in Montreal, where I am now in Canada. But I'll be in Brazil in March to start the new spectacle that we are performing. And it's working, and we hope it can keep working. And we have a lot of published material in the internet. We have BBC pieces and English articles about our work. And I hope that everybody can access it and can also practice these ideas and practice this kind of rituals and cultural rituals. One theater master from Brazil, he told me that. He said, theater is a ritual, and we have to make our own ritual. The ritual has to reflect the story, the memories of the territory. It has to make to bring people's memory in order they can understand better who they are, which is your identity. And with your identity, you develop self-esteem. With self-esteem, you develop self-care and care for the other.
Beautiful.
And that seems to be a pathway to construct health.
I'd love to hear a little more about your Dionysus Theater, because most people are not instructed in the arts. You know, education today is designed to get people to become cogs, you know, cogs in the machinery of production, right? So how do you get a job? That's the only impetus. But Dionysus Theater is this awakening movement of, you know, so who is Dionysus, and why does this speak to the core of your work?
Yes, that's very important in our research, because back in Brazil, we have in our psychiatric hospital, we have this woman doctor, psychiatrist, called Nise da Silveira. Nise da Silveira. She was a revolutionary of psychiatry back in the 40s, and she refused to treat the patients with aggressive methods such as electroshocks and lobotomies, and which are surgeries that the patients have a part of his brain cutted by surgery to disable some neuronal circuits in this kind of violence. And she refused to do that. And she started to work with painting and sculpting and many different occupational therapies. And that led her to build the largest museum for art and psychiatry in the world, which is the Museum of Images of the Unconscious. And she worked with Carl Jung in Zurich. And she developed this look into psychosis that derived from Jung's theory. When we are mentally ill, we express mythological figures. We express myths. We express stories. We express narratives. And these narratives are not new at all. They are old, and they are influenced by old myths, by old religions. And everybody who works in psychotic populations and people with severe mental illness knows that Dionysus, the god of madness, the god of theater, the god of wine in Greek culture, is a very abundant archetype in madness. The Greek, they didn't put put the same god, Dionysus, for madness and for theater. That's not a coincidence. The same god that controls madness is the same god that controls theater. And his brother, Apollo, controls medicine and controls poetry. So the Greek, they knew already that there is a very fine balance between Dionysus and Apollo, and that Apollo is the healer and Dionysus is the theater maker and is the mad guy, is the one who has inspired madness. And we have been working this in the hospital. In 2013, we played the Bacchae, which is a play by Euripides. It's a Greek playwright that wrote this play called the Bacchae, making reference to Baco, which is the Roman name for Dionysus. And it narrates the story of this god, which is Dionysus, the god of madness, the god of theater. And it's a very interesting myth because Dionysus makes people mad. When he arrives in the city, the women, they go mad, they take out the clothing and they drink wine and they dance and sing in his honor. This is the beginning of the Dionysian rites and the pageants and the public parties and the first carnivals of history, isn't it? They started like this. And out of this, the Greek theater evolved to the tragedy, to the comedy, and also democracy was created in the environment of the Greek theater, in the theater of Dionysos in Athens. So we worked with this idea, understanding that Dionysus symbolizes the collectivity, the dialogue, symbolizes the group, symbolizes the enthusiasm, the idea that we are all dancing and singing in his honor. The Greek, they had this very important word, which is called entheos. Entheos in Greek means the god inside, the god within. And entheos is the root for the word enthusiasm. So whenever you are enthusiastic about something, is that the moment when God manifests on you. And that God is Dionysus, is the god of ecstasy, is the god of party, of theater. And also it has a dark side that when people doesn't honor his traditions, when people don't dance, when a city stops to dance, Dionysus punishes with madness. And that's a very interesting metaphor for understanding this idea that your sanity depends on your collective expression.
Beautiful.
Your sanity depends on your collective organization. And we are in a state now in this moment, in this historical moment, we are in a state that we are self-destructing ourselves. And that certainly got to do with the collective rituals we are performing. And if we can train actors and train people and gather people that are interested in performing different rituals, we can change the community's mental health. We have been doing this in Brazil, and it's progressing for 7 years now.
We're coming to the end of our interview, so I wonder if you'd like to recite for us one of your poems or favorite poems that calls you.
A Brazilian poet that I love very much, which is called Carlos Drummond de Andrade. Carlos Drummond de Andrade is one of the greatest Brazilian poets, and he had been helping us very much. He's dead for a few decades, but his poetry is really feeding us and helping us every day, and we have been saying this. He says this poem, it's called in Portuguese, Mãos Dadas, which in English means joined hands. And he says, I won't be the poet of a decrepit world, neither I'll sing the future world. I'm arrested to life, and I look to my companions. They are quite sad, but they nourish great hopes. Among them, I look to reality. The present is so huge. Do not separate us. Do not separate us much. Let us go in joined hands. I won't be the singer of a woman of the sight seen from the window. I won't distribute suicidal letters, neither psychotropics. I won't flee to the islands, neither I'll be kidnapped by seraphs. The time is my matter. Time present, men present, and life present. It's called Joined Hands by Carlos Drummond de Andrade.
Beautiful. I want to remind our audience that you are not just a poet, a theater, you know, magician, but you also do free trainings. Can you tell us about your latest project?
And we are training more actors. Here in Montreal, we are starting it today, and we're going to go through the whole year, the whole next year at least. And in Brazil also. We keep performing and we keep training. We have open workshops in the Madness Hotel, which is in the Nise da Silveira Institute in Rio de Janeiro. And people who want to visit and want to come and train with us. There is the site, the matrix of all this work, but we are doing it abroad now. And also I'm publishing a lot of stuff and publishing papers. And I hope people can read it and join this collaborative network, this cultural collaborative network. I always ask, why should we compete when we can cooperate? So to cooperate is much better, much easier, much faster, much efficient, much more efficient, and we can do it collaboratively. So this is a hope for us, because this competitive culture, it's truly exhausted. People is going mad because of it. And it seems to me that to perform a culture, to perform a healing ritual, to perform a spectacle, to perform plays, to perform movies, to do cultural works in a collaborative fashion, has a striking importance today for offering examples of new modes of working that do not are connected to this idea of competition and that you have to be the best and this kind of crap that people save in our education process.
Mm. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a truly delight. My guest is Victor Pordeaux. Dr. Victor Pordeaux is not just, I mean, you're brilliant. He's a brilliant physician, actor, and transcultural psychiatrist. And he's the founder of Dionysus Theater, also the Madness Hotel and Spa, and the People's University for Art and Science.
And thank you very much, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Visit Latin Waves Media to hear previous shows, to access resources, or support our efforts towards social change via community project engagement. Thank you, and bye for now.